Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Athletics out of control, right? We all know it's out of control. Look at the spending. Look at the buildings. Look at the salaries of the coaches. Our next guest is part of the Knight Commission, Dr. Nancy Zimpfer, who is at the State University of New York as the chancellor there, also part of the Knight Commission, and co-authored an important piece this week that deals with sort of the spending and the check and balance of major college athletics. And Dr. Zimpfer is joining us now. Thank you for making time for us.
Yeah, thank you, John. I'm the former chancellor. I just want to be clear.
All right. Former chancellor.
Retired.
Oh, good for you. What's that like?
Well, I'm pretty busy with collegiate athletics.
Let me ask.
More time to spend on these tough issues.
Yeah, let me ask you, because, you know, we all kind of look at it and we go, you know, something's out of whack here. You know, and I know you recently co-authored that op-ed, and I know it's important to you. What do you see when you look at college athletics?
Well, I think I see an entity that's not organized. We've got the Power Five, the Autonomous Five conferences operating essentially mostly outside of the NCAA. So they're making decisions not necessarily, as you can see right now, collectively, but one conference at a time. The NCAA is issuing other decisions, like their decision to cancel March Madness and their cautionary notes around playing any sport this fall. So we don't have our house in order, and at the same time, we're in a financial crisis because the revenues from what would have been our fall football season are not going to come in. We have debt that needs to be retired, but we're not going to have the revenue. Our salaries for coaches have constantly increased, most notably over the last 10 to 15 years. So this is a moment when we have a great opportunity, really based on the crisis of the virus and also the crisis of racism and systemic racism, to step back and take a harder look at what we're doing and how we could do it better.
I'm looking, you know, you're right. You sort of talk about how the Power Fives operate as their own thing. There's a big difference between the Power Five conferences and maybe the group of five and then, you know, Division Two and Division Three. Is this virus giving people a chance maybe to say, hey, look, we need a commissioner of college football, or what needs to happen there? Do these things need to be separated and splintered off as they are, or does it need to be pulled back together, in your opinion?
Well, I think that's the two roads diverge that we are looking at. The Knight Commission is really intensifying its review of our governance models, review of the finances and the increases in expenditures, the increases in debt, and so the plan of the Knight Commission, which is advisory. We're sort of thought of as a thought leader, but we're not in the organizational structure. But over the last 30 years, the Knight Commission has been very helpful in advising intercollegiate athletics. So our plan is to, by October, if you will, try to see if we can't make some proposals around governance and structure and finances and, quite frankly, student engagement. John, and we've talked to a lot of people, ADs, coaches, presidents, faculty, athletic representatives, and of course our students. We're collecting insights from various people. There are divergent opinions, as you might guess. This is controversial, but really to propose a better, more effective, more unified governance structure. So it could be all out, or it could be all in or some hybrid of the two. But that hybrid exists right now, and it's not working.
I saw some data today that said about only 15 of the athletic departments in major college athletics are profitable. Others, right. You know, leaning on student fees and other things. What's the right balance there? Because I do think athletics are part of the university, but what's the right balance when you come to how you fund the athletics?
Well, I think what we're learning is that good management is good management. You don't separate the athletic department and let it manage itself based on the money we make this year and then we spend this year. University presidents know that you have to manage research. You have to manage your facilities. So I think a more contemporary model is to manage athletics from the president's office, the way we manage facilities, construction, and salaries across the board. It is remarkable that coaches of flagship universities are typically the highest paid public employee in any state. And of course, we can't control salaries under antitrust rules. So we're going to need some help. And as you know, there are some congressional senators in particular that are interested in these issues. So hopefully we can come to common purpose together, and that means the Power Five, the NCAA, working hand in glove with other constituencies. I'm very hopeful, but it takes work. It's going to be controversial, and it's going to have to come together at some point.
Dr. Nancy Zimpher is Chancellor Emeritus for the State University of New York and also part of the Knight Commission. You raise an interesting point there about, you know, the controlling of salaries. It'll be argued in the SEC that, hey, Nick Saban, his program generates $20+ million of profit every year for Alabama. You know, we can justify paying his salary. How do you start that conversation when you run into that?
Well, a lot of extraordinary faculty members in universities bring in revenue because of their research, because of their science, because of their skill. But there is a sort of collegial pricing of university work that has to be attended to. And I don't think we would let this happen in other sectors of the university. So it's all about finding the right control mechanism to do what we know is right and to put this really wonderful intercollegiate athletic system much better under the umbrella of universities and university presidents, and to look at the governance structure, which, if it's not really working now to create a common face for collegiate athletics, then we need to fix it.
I had Michael Schill, the president of Oregon, on the show last week, and he was really interesting as he talked about the football players as students. I want to play something for you and get your reaction to it. Here's Michael Schill.
Okay.
We didn't do this lightly. These are students' lives, but they're our students, right? They have practiced years and years to be able to play in the Pac-12, and then this is volleyball, this is soccer, this is track, this is football, and they were dreaming of this, and we know they were dreaming of this. So these decisions were not taken lightly, and the focus needs to be on our students and supporting our students, and they remain our students, and we're going to continue supporting them this quarter and for some school semester. And, you know, they're going to get a great education. We're going to support them. They're going to be able to take advantage of services that we have. So it's not like we're sort of washing our hands and say, okay, we're postponed. These are our students, and we care about them.
I think the chancellors and presidents in the Pac-12 were trying to send a message by canceling the football season. How problematic is it when you've got the SEC, ACC, Big 12 saying, we want to continue to play, and you got the Big Ten and the Pac-12 going, wait a minute, these are students?
Well, I think it's pretty impressive what the Big Ten and the Pac-12 did. And I think they did have as their priority the health and safety of their student athletes. But also, they're going to continue to support them in any way they can through this process. This is a terrible thing for all of us. And so I think the fact that the Power Five couldn't make this decision collectively speaks to the fissure, the crack in our armor that has to come together, because ultimately it is all about the safety of our athletes and our students in general. So we don't know how it's going to go, but so far it's not going well.
Do you think you can get the ear, like, you know, if the Knight Commission's goal is like, hey, you know, let's bring us together and get some centralized decision making, is that a role that the Knight Commission would want to play, or do you need another entity in the middle of that?
I think it's possible that we will need a lot of people's help. We need the court of public opinion. We need people to understand that this is a bit out of control, to say the least. Secondly, now we have congressional interest, and we have vice presidential presumptive. You know, we have a candidate running for vice president who's one of the senators who signed on to this Bill of Rights. So we need their help. Remember in basketball, through the crisis, we have the Rice Commission. We have independent members of the NCAA board. We need their help. And I will say to you, the composition of the Knight Commission is very reflective of current presidents, former presidents, athletic directors, student athletes, faculty representatives. We even have the wisdom and the knowledge of someone like Paul Tagliabue, who used to run the NFL, and my co-author, Jonathan Mariner, who was the CFO of the baseball. I mean, we're really trying to bring the smartest minds we can to solve this problem. And I think we can do it. I think it will be a tough deliberation. Because once somebody sort of leaves the system, it's hard to pull them back. So maybe we won't be able to do that. And maybe the best model is to have them 100%. I'm now talking about the Power Five outside the NCAA. But I bet to most of our listeners, that doesn't sound exactly right.
Yeah, I think, I still want NCAA involvement. But I agree with you. I think that we're under, the illusion that Portland State is competing within the same system as Oregon and Oregon State, but the truth is they're very different entities when it comes to athletics. Our guest, Dr. Nancy Zimpfer from the Knight Commission. What's the next step for the Knight Commission?
Well, we've been hard at work. Actually, since the beginning of the year, we've done a survey. We've interviewed lots and lots of people, the types of representing the people I've said before. We've done a review of everything that we've written and that's been written in the press about what went wrong, what should we do. So we hope to issue a report, a set of recommendations by October. That's well ahead of the January NCAA convention, where most of these deliberations occur. And so if we have the time between October and January to get into a real deliberation about this and also continue to work and be helpful as we can to this congressional debate, that's the plan.
Was it problematic in your eyes that the Power Five couldn't get together? Because I think a lot of us are wondering, did the SEC and ACC and Big 12 get it right, or did the Pac-12 get it right? We may never know the answer, but is the bigger problem that they couldn't come to a decision together?
Yeah, I think you put your finger on it. And actually, there is a board, so to speak, for the college football playoff. They make, unified decisions at that point. I can't really offer an explanation for why this didn't happen relative to the decision about fall football.
All right, Dr. Zimpfer, I really appreciate your time and your passion and your energy, and enjoy that retirement.
Well, I'm pretty busy. I think it's not retirement.
There you go.
Thank you for inviting me, John. I appreciate it.
You bet. There it is. Dr. Nancy Zimpfer with the Knight Commission. I think it's an interesting point that, we all know it's an illusion, right? We know it's an illusion to believe that Division I, Division II, Division III athletics, the conferences, they're not all the same. It's apples and oranges. We get used to or lulled into thinking that there's equity and parity and that, in the NFL, everybody's got the same salary cap. Everybody has the same amount of dollars to spend. In the NBA, got a soft salary cap, but you're still playing within the same structure. And, there's not huge difference between you know, the Memphis Grizzlies, a non-playoff team, and the Portland Trail Blazers, a playoff team. I mean, the differences are over. They're, you know, you're able to overcome them as a franchise. But in college athletics, Portland State is never making the college football playoff. It's not available to them. They're playing in a completely different structure as an FCS school. So you tell me the FBS-FCS distinction that is drawn between haves and have-nots, we call them usually, Big Sky Conference, Pac-12 Conference. We just say these things are different, and yet they play each other in non-conference games. It was really interesting to me when the Big Sky Conference decided that they were going to fold up and not play their football season. Anybody else catch this? The Big Sky Conference held a meeting, said we're not going to play football. The Pac-12 held a meeting and said we're not going to play fall sports. They included all their sports under the same umbrella. The reason why Portland State and the Big Sky Conference members decided to have two separate meetings was because the other fall sports in the Big Sky Conference do compete on a national level with the NCAA Division I members. For example, if we're talking basketball, Portland State's men's and women's basketball programs, or the Big Sky Conference champion, is eligible to play in the NCAA tournament. You can make the football championship game in the Big Sky. You can win your conference, but you're not getting to the playoff. You're not eligible to get to the playoff. You're not going to make it there ever. You're never going to be invited. Never. Under any circumstance are you going to be invited to the college football playoff. And you've got, in basketball, Portland State going, yeah, we can get into the big dance as a 15 or a 16 seed and rattle around a little bit. At least we're playing for the same championship. There's a big problem there. And it's not a have-not problem. It's that for a long time, we've just gone about thinking that, hey, you know, it's okay to pretend that these things are in the same classification when they're really not. Division One is not the same as Division Two or Division Three. And within Division One, you have the Power Fives and you have the rest that are not Power Fives. And there are small variances within those Power Five conferences and even big ones. When you talk about the SEC and Big Ten and the amount of revenue that they're generating versus their peers, they are head and shoulders in front of the Pac-12. But to pretend that the Power Five is the same as the teams from the Mountain West Conference or WAC or Division II or Division III athletes is absolute insanity. So I appreciate the Knight Commission's work in trying to go, hey, maybe this is something you should talk about. Maybe you need a centralized decision-making, you know, plan, because you guys couldn't come to an agreement. I think it's it underscores the problem that's going on right now in major college sports. All right, leave it here. Well, every day on the show, we do the Culligan Water Cooler Report. Join me around the water cooler. Go to culliganoforegon.com if you want to get your water tested like we did. But let's do it. Meet me at the
water cooler. Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
There'll be no Zach Collins in Game 1 for the Trailblazers. Anthony Davis, delighted probably to hear that. Puts Yusuf Nurkic a little bit on an island. Blazers starting lineup. Probably have to go small. Maybe Gary Trent Jr. in the starting lineup. I want to kick this around a little bit. Judah Newby. Biggest question that will be answered in the NBA playoffs, aside from the Blazers. Like, the Blazers might be part of it, but what do you think the biggest question that will be answered in the NBA playoffs starting today, of course, what would be the big question that gets answered?
Giannis. What is Giannis? What is he? Is he a playoff warrior? Obviously, they bowed out too early last year with Kawhi and the Raptors. Is the bubble effect detrimental for Milwaukee to the point where they cannot win the Eastern Conference? Is Giannis a bona fide superstar? If he is, he leads Milwaukee to the finals. But I have my concerns. That's intriguing to me.
I think that there's a huge difference between the contenders and the rest in this league. And I think I think right now, if you are, you know, I know a lot of people are looking at the Lakers and saying, hey, the Lakers weren't that impressive and didn't play that well. And the Clippers were resting up a little bit. Obviously, in that Blazers-Clipper game, they were resting up. But still think that the Clippers might be the best team in the West. But I suddenly feel like that door is open for the Bucks. Like I legitimately am looking at them and going, you know what? This could be their – it's a weird year anyway. It could be their year. But I look at that group of teams – like, for example, you know, the Raptors are playing the Nets right now. They're up 54-28 in that game. And it's like, I kind of think the messing around is over. And now it is about, all right, who's here to really, who's talented enough to really move to the next level? And typically, what you do see in the NBA playoffs is you see the teams that want to be there, that care to be there, they're flying back and forth. Home court advantage seems to matter more in the playoffs than maybe ever. But I think because they're all in the bubble, and I think the Blazers are the road team in games one and two, and then they'll just flip around and sit on the other bench in games three and four. It's not going to be this big flight across, you know, hey, we got to fly somewhere to go play a game. I think so. You throw some of that out, and I think there will be a little bit of, let's just take care of business from the better teams. I'm curious to see, and maybe that's my answer to what's the biggest question that's going to be answered. I'm curious to see how these playoffs, where you don't have the back and forth, differ from maybe a playoff series where it's really important for one team to get back on their home court and win the series and do all that. Because sometimes I think you see teams take a game off, even in the playoffs, because they go, hey, we're up 3-0. This game's on the road. We're going back home anyway. Let's go back home and win this series. And they kind of just psychologically take a game off. I think there's going to be a real emphasis in these games that are in the bubble, playoff games, for the good teams just taking care of business. And I, you know, we saw the Nuggets beat the Jazz in overtime today, 135-125. Raptors up big on the Nets. They're up 23 on the Nets. Later, of course, that Mavericks Clippers game will be a lot of fun later today, but let's watch the good teams as we move forward here. All right. We have, coming up, Anna will pop into studio. I'll have the two at two. It's the two biggest things going on in the world of sports. Tomorrow's show, fantastic. Rick Neuheisel on the show, Herm Edwards on the show. Leave it right here.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.